A federal court judge has blasted the income averaging algorithm known as RoboDebt as shameful and a massive failure in public administration. Today, the federal court approved a multi-million dollar compensation payment for victims of the scheme, which saw hundreds of thousands of Australians issued with incorrect Centrelink debt notices. The government will pay a total of $1.7 billion, including $751 million in repayments of invalid debts and dropped claims for another $744 million. Bill Shorten is the Shadow Minister for Government Services and the National Disability Insurance Scheme. I spoke to him a short time ago and asked if this was the validation victims of the scheme had been waiting for.
I think for the hundreds of thousands of our fellow Australians who were living on the edge in the margins and were unlawfully sued by the government, I think what they really wanted is that the government never behaved unlawfully to begin with. This is a second best option, but it is validation for all of the arguments countless hundreds of thousands of people had with the government. I mean, this without a doubt is the worst failure of a compliance program in Australia's history. It is, as the judge said, a shameful chapter of our welfare history in Australia.
What's your response to Justice Murphy's observation that RoboDebt was a bungle and there's little evidence to prove the government knew the scheme was unlawful?
What Justice Murphy said is that on the evidence he had in front of him, he tended towards it was a massive stuff-up as opposed to a conspiracy. But that's why we want to have a royal commission. Because when does massive stupidity actually become negligent, reckless, and bad? For 4.5 years, the government said that what they were doing was legal. They said it was legal after 29 different administrative appeal tribunal decisions said it wasn't. They kept on saying it in parliament and in the media, and they rubbished me and others who said that it was illegal. So now they've said, actually, well, maybe we were just stupid, not bad. But the point about this is no public servant has been held to account, no senior public servant, that is. No minister is held to account. There is no business in Australia where if you were part of a $2 billion compliance fail where you have to repay $1.7 billion and another $112 million in costs, and no one's responsible. This is a blame-free government. They are a joke and they are incompetent.
Are you disappointed that this settlement allows the government to avoid any admission of wrongdoing?
Well, part of me wanted to see those ministers give evidence under oath in the senior public servants but I think it was the very threat of that on the day that the court case was to begin, forced them to pony up with all the money they owed. But part of me also recognises that only the Morrison government believes their own spin on this. When they say they haven't admitted liability, but by the way, here's $1.763 billion back to 381,000 different recipients, and when they pay another $112 million of taxpayer money because of the inconvenience they've caused, you know, hundreds of thousands of Australians, only they believe they haven't admitted liability. Does any person currently breathing on the continent of Australia believe that the government would have repaid this money if they weren't liable?
Do you welcome the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg's, he's addressed this issue and apologised this afternoon, reiterating previous comments that have been made?
Listen, an apology is better than nothing, but for the people who've suffered the trauma, the stigma, the shame, for the families who say that their own loved ones were forced to take their own life, triggered by the RoboDebt, an apology is pretty hollow. It shouldn't have taken me going to Gordon Legal running a class action for the best part of 2 years, hundreds of thousands of people having to protest and sign up for the government to obey the law. Have we become so inured, so apathetic to this government's incompetence and spin that we just sort of say, oh, well, we know they're stupid. There's $2 billion mistake. You know, they're bad. Let's move on. It is a disgrace. Whatever happened to the principle, if you make a big mistake, you own it. These guys and girls in the Morrison government spent your taxpayer money and every other taxpayer's money fighting until the day they had to send their own people into court. Only when their own skin was on the line did they give us stuff about that, what they did to everyone else?
Bill Shorten, you mentioned suicide, and that question was asked of the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, too. He says the issue of suicide is complex and these are human tragedies. Do you believe this scheme was directly responsible for people taking their own lives? Because Josh Frydenberg really, you know, said that this was a sort of broader human tragedy issue.
When someone feels that they have no other option other than to take their own life, that's clearly tragic and it is remarkably complex. But what I won't do, unlike the government, is pretend that RoboDebt couldn't have triggered these matters. If you feel the whole world's closing in on you, if you feel that you just can't dig your way out of the hole that you're in and nothing seems to be getting better, imagine getting there and they letter a demand and process servers from your friends at the Morrison government. It's just what this government says is, oh, you can't prove that someone took their own life because of RoboDebt. One, I would say I'd rather trust the family of the loved one than a minister who's never picked up the phone to that family. And two, what I can't say is that there's no relationship, that when everything else is piling in on you and you get a letter of demand or you're chased or you have the stigma of the government honing in on you, alleging you have a debt which you don't believe you have, how can the government be so sure that that didn't trigger a terrible, catastrophic event?
You mentioned didn't get a phone call. There was this sorry from the Treasurer today, but are you concerned that there hasn't been that personal call from any of the responsible ministers or the Prime Minister to these families?
Yeah, I mean, the ministers and the Prime Minister might say, we can't ring every person, we don't know every individual's circumstances. And some of that's undoubtedly true. But what they can do is not implement an unlawful scheme for the last 4.5 years. I remember when we launched the class action, Stuart Robert with his trademark grin, just mocking myself and Gordon Legal, saying there are no plaintiffs. Where are the plaintiffs, he thundered. Why is it only Mr. Shorten and Mr. Gordon fronting the cameras? Where are the plaintiffs? Well, he was wrong, wasn't he? It turns out that 648,000 members were part of this class. It turns out the 381,000 people of this class literally paid money to the government that they didn't owe. There's literally hundreds of thousands of people who are affected.
Are you satisfied, though, about this $1.7 billion the government is paying out and that whether it will adequately reflect not just the money that was taken but also the pain and suffering that obviously the scheme caused?
I've spoken to thousands of people who were illegally robo-debted by this government. They would... Getting their money back or some interest is not the same as just trying to put the clock back, you know, put events back before they happened. Everyone I've met would rather they were never hounded by the government. But I do think this is a significant win. I do think it is significant. This is money, by the way, which isn't taxpayer money, but it's the money the government illegally took from taxpayers. So the government's just letting people have what was rightfully theirs in the first place. But this is a win. The problem is we couldn't achieve it in Parliament. The government just stonewalled with their numbers. We couldn't achieve it through the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. There were many valiant attempts in the media to expose the problems here, but it took us to organise taking the government to court. But even today, Mr. Frydenberg, who's quite a pleasant fellow, says, oh, we have an admitted liability. That's why people hate politics. It's the weasel words. They've got $1.7 billion admission of liability. The problem is that they don't take the blame for anything.
Bill Shorten, is Labor prepared to wind back automation, not just in welfare, but other areas of government services like the NDIS, where, of course, it's being proposed? Is that the strategy you'll take if you were to win government?
Can't say that we're not going to use computers, but what you can do is have proper human oversight. There's no doubt in my mind that the rise of use of algorithms and automation and artificial intelligence has been used for good in many places. But when it comes to welfare, it's almost created a digital workhouse. What it's doing is creating two classes of Australians. We are required to surrender our data as part of our legal obligations as citizens in order to get benefits. But that information shouldn't be used to put people in the digital second class, into the workhouse, into the poorhouse. So I think there needs to be a lot more thinking, and there is a fair bit around, but there needs to be a lot more thinking about how we have proper oversight of the use of artificial intelligence and computer algorithms. At the end of the day, it's not Services Australia, it's Human Services Australia. It's about people. And that if people need the safety net, they shouldn't be made to feel like they're cheats and crooks and be treated as if they have to reverse the onus of proof and prove that they're not cheating the system before they get the benefit.
Bill Shorten, what's your assessment of the impact this most recent lockdown in Melbourne has had on businesses and people? And what kind of support do you think people need to recover?
It's been a difficult 15 days for people. I am pleased that we're out of lockdown today. I think it's been, for some people who can work from home or have an ongoing regular job, it's been okay. Not great, but it's been okay. I do worry, though, about businesses who are still going through hardship, you know, the restaurants, the retail. But a particular area of concern now for me is gymnasiums and fitness centres. I mean, Mr. Morrison says there's not a hotspot anymore in Melbourne, but the point about it is these gyms can't go back to normal. These fitness centres can't go back to normal. So we've got that whole industry, for example, not just them, there's the travel agents, there's live music. But for a lot of people, this the virus hasn't ended. So I do think the government now needs to, sector by sector, start providing a bit more support. And I want to give a shout out to the personal fitness industry and the gyms. Employs a lot of people, makes a lot of difference in people's lives. But they can't go back to normal yet. So I just wish Mr. Morrison could find a map and find where Victoria is, because we're still doing
it. It's funny you say that, but the government's response to that has been that Victoria and the Victorian government should step up for those businesses. Well, they made the decision,
you know,
they say, to lockdown.
Sick of the blame game. Of course the Victorian government should do things. No one's saying that they shouldn't. But what I also know is that the bulk of tax paid by Victorians goes to Canberra. And we don't object, you know, people don't like paying tax, but we do expect it to be there when we need it. And in something like this, when COVID hasn't finished, all those gyms pay tax, all the fitness trainers and personal instructors pay tax, all the people who use those facilities pay tax, but they're doing it hard. So Mr. Morrison's happy to take our taxes every 365 days of the year. But when we've got the virus and when we lock down, he says, not my problem, with that sort of trademark stubborn smirk of his. Like, why did he want to be Prime Minister if he washes his hands all the time of the difficult decisions?
Bill Shorten, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Patricia.
That's Bill Shorten, the Shadow Minister for Government Services and the National Disability Insurance Scheme. 0418 226 576 is our text line.